Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Elfte oktober 2018. Jag har nu haft en vecka med min dotter. Det är ju helt galet att hon finns. Att jag är mamma. Det går nästan inte att ta in. Får nypa mig i armen varje gång jag vaknar och hon ligger bredvid mig. Min direkta nästa tanke blir en enorm tacksamhet gentemot de två donatorer som har gett mig av sin tid och sina kroppar för att jag ska få detta fantastiska lilla liv. Jag ville ringa dem och säga det, men ändå inte. Jag vill skriva brev och skicka bilder, men ändå inte. Jag vill ringa kliniken och frysa in flera embryon, men ändå inte. Men tänk om jag vill ha syskon. Då vill jag ju att de ska vara exakt så perfekta som liv är. Hej och välkomna, avsnitt 88 av podden Jag vill ha barn. Och idag har jag min klinik i Sankt Petersburgs donationsexpert Anna Makarova här.
Hej!
Så spännande. Innebär ju som ni vet att jag kommer att podda på engelska. Vi kommer alltså mest att prata om den emotionella biten av donationer i det jag har tänkt. Men vi får väl se vart vi landar. So, hey Anna, welcome.
Hey, very pleased to be with you.
Did I pronounce your name right?
It's all right.
How do you say it?
Anna Makarova.
Makarova. Anna, could you please tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and how you ended up at this position at the clinic?
So, my story starts in 2008, actually, when I met Dr. Olga Zaitsev, and I was an egg donor. And the website where of the clinic, it was Scandinavia Clinic, maybe you know it. So it had an advert on it about its egg donors are required. I was interested. And
do you know why you were interested?
I was curious.
Yeah.
I was curious, what is that? Because I did know about the blood donation and, but I didn't know about egg donation. Yeah. So I was curious, what
and
is
you
that?
Were a mother at this time?
Yes, I was a mother. Yeah. So when I met Olga in the clinic, she persuaded me that it is not just only curiosity, it's a big deal for other people as well.
Yeah.
And one of my main questions was, you know, who are those patients?
Yeah.
Who are those people who need donor egg?
Yeah.
And when I learned a lot, who are those people? You know, they are so strong people because they undergo so many struggles, so many losses, most of the times, lots of 5 year attempts with own eggs. I was, said just like, wow, they are so nice people to be so good parents, but they just need a donor egg. It's just a small thing.
Yeah,
I have lots of them. And for me, it was a point. It was a point to go ahead and to become a donor. I was a donor for 3 times.
Okay. And so you've made 3 egg retrievals.
Yes, yeah. I've done 3 egg retrievals. And the last one was in 2010. And after that, Olga, she joined me. She invited me to join the team.
Yeah.
In 2011, I started my work.
Yeah.
And I started egg donor recruitment.
Mm.
And in 2012, we created the database together.
Yeah.
You can see today, it's almost the same. It has lots of information about the donor, the profile of the donor, and also the donor pictures in the infancy.
Yeah.
Inside. So it was a so nice experience for me.
Do you know how many children has become out of your donations?
Yes, of course. And we have a standard in our clinic for donors, so they have a right to know the outcome, and I believe it is very important for donor.
Yeah.
They can know the outcome. And
but they
gender.
Can only know like how many and what else? The gender of the child.
And the gender. Yeah.
But they cannot know who the parents are
or where
they live.
Nothing. And as for me, it is more important to know the outcome because, you know, you did so much.
Yeah.
you did these injections and appointments and egg retrieval.
I think all my listeners really can, you know.
Yeah. So, and you need to know, was it successful or not?
Mm-hmm.
Because you really wish to help someone.
Yeah.
And you're really curious, could you help someone or not? So I know that there are two girls.
Okay.
And I'm very happy. Very,
yeah.
very happy.
And
are,
you know if they are in the same family or different families?
They are twins.
Oh, they're twins.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's so lovely. You know, especially when I learned
about
that.
So they are in the same family.
That's, yeah, yeah. So. I have a boy. I had a boy at the moment when I learned about that. I was so, wow, girls, that's nice.
but don't, I mean, if you did 3 egg retrieval, that must have been a lot of eggs. Shouldn't it be more children?
You know, unfortunately, to my previous attempt, so the last one was successful,
mm-hmm.
and the 2 previous ones were not successful.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. Probably there was some issues with the patient and so on. I don't know why.
You know. Okay.
And I know that the
is it okay for you to not know why?
Well, when I asked Olga, she told me that they were not easy patients. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it depends on the success, of course.
Yeah.
The success rates increased dramatically since those times. And
yeah.
even our embryology protocols with creating blastocysts, they are much, much better.
And so you started working at the clinic in 2000.
11.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then you sort of made a career in the clinic. Because now you're like the head of the donation team.
Yeah, yeah. The head of the donation team. And we have 5 people at the moment who care about donors and who recruit. And who
they're also all donors, right?
Yes, we have 11 people, 11 former donors in our team at the moment.
Yeah.
You can
that's
imagine.
That's the thing I think about sometimes. What if my donor or my child's donor is in the clinic, but actually Olga told me she's not.
No.
So I had, so I didn't, I know, I wouldn't matter, but you know, I should not put my energy thinking on that. So.
Well, it's a tricky question, you know. I'm always frightened. Well, what if someone will come to the clinic and understand that this lady is her donor and what's going to happen and so on. I understand.
For both parties, I think.
Yeah, because, you know, it was anonymous. Completely anonymous. I mean that no contacts and no possibility to make a contact. But I know we all are people. We have some emotions.
Yeah.
I know that ladies feel open. My ladies who work in our clinic. But I didn't know what is going to happen with patients.
No.
If they, we respect all the feelings.
Yeah.
And I don't think
that's actually what I said in my diary in the beginning in Swedish, that, you know, I'm so grateful towards both my donors, since I have both an egg donor and sperm donor. And I feel like I want to call them, but I don't. And I want to feel like I want to send them letters, but I don't. You know, it's like both sides. You want to know them, but it's also very good not to know them.
Yeah.
So and also I think it's not really my issue or, you know, place to decide. It, because it's not really my donor.
Mm-hmm.
It's my daughter's donors.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think for me, I try to not have any opinions or emotions or whatever until she will be old enough,
mm-hmm.
so we can talk about it and she can decide
how
she feels,
and
then I can, you know, support her instead,
because
for me, I made a very huge decision that affects her even more than me,
mm-hmm.
so I feel that my biggest responsibility is sort of to have her on board,
but you're a mother.
I know, it's fantastic.
It's different. I often ask the question, don't I miss something, like I gave out my eggs, they are babies, don't I miss those babies and mm-hmm. so on? I don't consider them like my own children.
No.
Because I have my own children.
Yeah.
And they are genetically and biologically mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider only those person as a mother who carried a child for 9 months.
Yeah.
Who initiated the life, because having an embryo, it is not life. It is not a person with legs and arms and body and
no.
and nothing, actually. Yeah. It's just a small, tiny, tiny blastocyst.
Yeah.
So... what I'm going to explain. So, ladies who carry the baby and who give birth and who nurse and who give education and who raise, those are mothers.
Yeah.
And the parenthood has more common with relationship, not with DNA.
Exactly.
So that's my point of view. That's
mine too. Yeah.
That's why I'm a donor.
Yeah.
That's why we have lots of women who have the same attitude. Luckily, they are together with us and they are donors.
Yeah.
And we do a great deal in social networking when we explain ladies this point of view.
Yeah.
Because not everyone understands what is an egg. It
no.
is just 50% of genetics. It is not a baby.
When you started at the clinic, you had one child, right?
Yes.
And then you tried to have a sibling mm-hmm. and it didn't work.
Yes.
So you became one of those struggling women.
It was a sad experience for me.
Yeah.
But it was quite fruitful in other ways. I started to understand our patients very well.
Yeah.
And it started in 2014. We started trying to have a sibling. And after years of trying, we investigated male infertility with my husband.
Mm.
So we have a mutual child. And the doctor told us probably the reason of the decreasing the sperm quality mm-hmm. was his job underground. He was working for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
so he's not father for of the first child?
He is.
Okay.
But he was young and healthy.
Before he went underground.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He was young and healthy and no worries. But after work underground, you know, something has come up with his quality.
Yeah.
With his sperm. So, yeah.
Oh, that's sad, actually.
That's really. And, you know, I know... Well, I can relate to all people or all couples who have this male infertility factor, because that's a disaster for a couple. I know that when you're struggling with infertility, it is not only about the treatment.
No.
It is a lot of about psychology.
Yeah.
You start arguing, why do you do so? Blame each other.
Yeah, it's a lot of shame especially when there's the male infertility factor.
Yeah, especially after the first failed attempt, you're trying to find the reason.
Mm.
Probably you did not well, or he did not well, or something like that. So yes, it was a disaster. It was the way all couples go through, I can relate.
Yeah.
And we were trying for 4.5 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
And it was...
And you also then became patient at the clinic.
Yes. So I had 2 egg retrievals
mm-hmm.
and 4 embryo transfers.
Mm-hmm.
So...
So you did you do ICSI or did you do sperm donation?
It was ICSI, and after 3 failed attempts, it was a big question, would we proceed? Because we thought probably we would need sperm donation.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was like, okay, we will go for that,
mm-hmm.
because he was so open, because I was a donor, and he just said, we need a baby. And, you know, I felt like, okay, we already have a child, mutual child,
yeah.
Would it be the same? You know, I had the same questions our patients have.
Mm.
Would it be the same? Would I love this child? Would I feel the same to this child and so on? So, afterwards, Olga insisted to have a second egg retrieval and to fertilize with his sperm.
Yeah.
And we succeed.
Yeah.
We succeed, and it was a heavy pregnancy. I was bleeding, and there was not an easy pregnancy. So I was in the hospital, and I had lots of hormones, lots of injections, lots of patches, lots of pills, infusions, and so on.
I can relate. Yeah.
Yes. So I think all our patients know this way, and how you longing, longing all this process, and you're lying in the bed and scary about everything. I remember those times when we just went for a walk with my husband, and he was so afraid that someone can kick my belly. I thought he's an insane person because I said, who is going to kick my belly? I'm just walking in the park. So,
but you get all these crazy ideas.
Yeah.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, and something, well, you know, all people, they need professional help during this process, definitely.
That's so true. Yeah.
Counselors make so helping hand, I would say, because you need to talk about that.
Yeah.
It is not an easy process.
No,
it is
not.
A challenge, great challenge. So, and in 2018, I gave birth to my baby girl.
Yeah, the same year as I did.
Yeah, so, and we called her Alice because
Alice.
I felt that it's a nice name because my husband told me, would you love to call her Alice? I thought, Alice from Wonderland. that's my clinic, Wonderland.
Do you know my daughter? Her name is Liv,
the
first name. And the second name is Olga.
Wow.
And their third name is Alice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So lovely.
So her name is Liv, Olga, Alice.
Wow.
That's amazing, right?
That's nice.
Okay, so I just got one question here now. Do you know, were you involved in my process?
Of course.
This is so exciting for me. Okay, so because I never had any contact with you or the donation team, I did all my communication with the fantastic coordinator, Diana. You talked earlier about the egg donor database. Mm-hmm. How many egg donors is it in that base?
At the moment?
Yeah.
At the moment, we have about 300 in the current. But we do not keep them all open
at
the same moment. Why? Because some of them are cycling.
Yeah.
Some of them are having rest. Some of them are planning their own pregnancy. We don't feel it's okay to keep all of them open because we didn't want to waste the time of our patients. They will choose someone and we tell, well, let's wait for her. I don't think it's okay for patient.
Yeah.
It's better to keep only those one who are ready to donate in the nearest time.
That's true. And for me, I was very scared about this thing going into the database because I had did all my tries before in Denmark, and then I did not know anything about donor. So it was sort of, I had to redo my process about accepting, knowing more info about the donor.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was scary, the whole thing with logging into the database. So I never did.
Mm.
Olga told me, let us choose for you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just to explain for the listeners as well. So I wrote an email to Diana with the things I thought was important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I also wrote like some of the ones I have seen in a brochure that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one that both me and my sister had seen in that brochure that we were like, you have to take her.
Mm.
And I was like, but she's probably not available because she's in the brochure. So probably she's just, you know, like a commercial face or something. And then I got an email, I think, with three or four suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
So you were the one choosing them then?
Yes.
Woohoo. This is so fun. And I just looked at them really quickly. Then just to tell my listeners that you can only see in those PDF files that you get,
mm-hmm.
you see pictures of them as kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this one, mm-hmm. the one I had seen in the brochure. So I just took her. And there was nothing more to that process. So interesting, because I was prepared when opening that email that this was going to be like a month or 2 months mm-hmm. long process. But it was like 5 minute process.
Mm.
But of course, I had done a lot of processing before this.
Of course.
Yeah. And with my therapist here and the clinic's therapist. And then it became difficult for me. Because the next step for me, normally when you do a double donation, as I did, you mm-hmm. choose from already done couples, or I mean the embryos are already made.
Mm-hmm.
So you get suggestions with both a sperm donor and egg donor.
Embryo donation?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Embryo adoption.
We have it like treatment. We call it embryo adoption.
Yeah.
But in fact, it is embryo.
Exactly. But in my case, I did, because I think I had misunderstood the packages or whatever. So in my process, I choose the egg donor first.
Yeah.
And then you were kindly enough to offer the possibility to make an embryo of
it
her eggs.
It was good luck that some lady yeah. caught your eye and she was available among the options with donor embryos.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
But what happened then was that I could only choose from the open Danish sperm donors that were in the freezer in mm-hmm. the clinic. And I think that was like first three and then you got some more. So I got only four mm-hmm. alternatives. And the thing was that this is only the four you get.
Mm-hmm.
There are no more. You have to choose one of these.
I can explain you how usually the process yes. goes these days.
Yes,
because,
please do.
Some time passed and, of course, we have some changes. So if someone is interested in this embryo adoption donation, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So usually we create some donor embryos beforehand and we have them in the freezer. We don't have them, you know, thousands or something like that, because we do not feel okay to create lots of embryos and make them wait.
Yeah.
It's not okay. So that's why we have some of them, and you can be offered several options in terms of your priorities, because we need to hear your priorities.
What
first.
Are the normal? What are the most common priority? If there are,
if we
any.
Talk about ladies or men, they are different.
Let's go for ladies.
Ladies, usually. Our patients ask me to find someone who looks similar.
Yeah. Of same course. Colors and
same colors mm. and probably same educational level and probably same talents and interests.
Yeah.
That's important. Yeah. I would do the same actually.
Yeah.
As for men, well, that's the point, because ladies sometimes I would love to have a tall and very handsome and so on. Okay, let's have a look. It's a bit tricky because they never meet this man.
Yeah.
It is not that you like a date someone.
No.
Of course not.
No.
So you're choosing a dad, a potential father, genetic yeah. father of your prospective child.
Yeah.
Yes, I can imagine, because I was in this position and I was already like a patient in the database of the sperm bank. I can imagine that I was, okay, whose man I'm going to? Well, someone who resembles my man or not. Oh, maybe not.
Someone a little bit more handsome.
Brad Pitt, nice man. Like that, you know. It's funny, but ladies sometimes tell me, I would love to have a man who has a mathematical mind and very sporty and also with excellent grades. I say, okay, this is Superman.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anna, let me ask you this more general kind of question.
Yep.
What is your opinion about, you know, genetics versus environment?
Mm-hmm.
How much we as people are formed by DNA, and what part has the environment we're in and the uterus and everything that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I often meet people and they say, oh, I could never use a donor. The genes are too important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really sure what to answer.
I have a very simple example.
Mm.
Do you know Mowgli?
Mm-hmm.
You know the story?
Yeah, we have it every year at Christmas.
Of course. So
yeah.
It is about a boy.
För lyssnarna, alltså Djungelboken. Yeah,
yeah. So he was brought up in the forest.
Yeah.
Or Tarzan, maybe you know as well.
Yeah.
So what is happening when someone is in the different environment and has a different education, what is happening with the genes?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's an answer.
Yeah.
The same when you provide different environment, because different uterus is different environment.
Yeah.
And upbringing, it has so much power in this process. And, I think this is an answer.
Yeah, I think you're right. What is it like to be a donor? What's the process for an egg donor?
Well, it's a good question. So I was a donor and I was a patient. I had the same injections to stimulate my ovaries to have egg retrieval, and recovery period is also the same.
Yeah.
But the psychological state when you are a donor and when you are a patient completely different.
Yeah.
Because when I was a donor, I was a happy mother. I was...
You were doing this fine act to someone else.
Yeah, yeah, I was just so happy to help someone, and I was excited about the process and about the result, and I was not frightened what is going to happen after, and I had no infertility background.
Yeah.
When I was a patient, it was a miserable feeling that you have to do all of this
to
conceive a child.
Mm.
And it is not natural for you.
Yeah.
And I felt absolutely like a meltdown. And the same injections and the same egg retrieval, it was, oh my God, what is happening? You know, like that.
Mm.
So it is
That's
different.
Very good that you have those both perspectives.
Yeah,
you can be very helpful for patients.
You know, I often asked... just some patients tell me, please tell my regards to my donor. I know, what is she doing? It is so awful procedures. I just tell them, why? It is not awful. it is fantastic for them. They do not feel like you feel.
Exactly, that's true. What kind of people are donors?
A very good question. I would say that when we do recruitment, it is so hard to find those people who are open to that.
Yeah.
Only about 20% of all young women under 30, yeah. they are open to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we recruit only young mothers. You can imagine how many people yeah. actually we have. So ladies must be open-hearted yeah. and kind, and it is absolutely impossible for someone who is greedy and an awful person to proceed all these stimulations and so on, and to share their own eggs with absolutely unknown people. So
so what do they go through? That you interview them? They do
it's
some tests?
It's a long process. Yeah. It's a long process. First of all, they need to make up their mind.
Yeah.
If they are ready for this step, because they will never know the patients, and actually they are just give away
yeah.
the eggs. Every woman loses her eggs every month.
Mm.
I mean, who are fertile under 30 and so on. Yeah. So do they miss the eggs? Do they
no.
cry every period about the egg?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
So you need to understand how this process goes on, and then to realize, are you ready to do the stimulation and to share your genetics with someone else?
Yeah.
So we have nice social chain, and most of the times friends of friends come to us.
Okay, so that's the normal way how you find them?
Yes, from the social network, from the parenthood gathering, because we recruit only young mothers.
Yeah.
And they come to us, and they think a long time before they realize that they are ready to fill the questionnaire and to provide all the information. So usually they think about several months.
Yeah.
And they need to have a good, I would say, psychological state. They are okay with that together with their husbands, because they're married most of the times.
Yeah.
It's not just her decision. Mm. It's a family decision.
Yeah.
I remember myself when I told to my husband that I'm going to the clinic and to donate my eggs. He was, what? What are you going to do? He was so frightened.
Yeah.
Because he didn't understand the process. And after my consultation with the doctor, I explained him, and he said, is it safe? I said, yes. Yes, there are some risks, of course, connected with egg retrieval and with some risk after. But if you are in a good professional hands with a doctor, in a good clinic, it is safe.
Mm.
He was worried, would we have any complications in the future to have a second child? I said,
yeah.
no. It's so funny now, you
yeah.
know. Well, yes, because when I had to check myself, everything was fine with me.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
But after when we checked the sperm, it was like kick from the back, you know,
yeah.
when you were a donor. And afterwards, you have this infertility, but not about you, about your husband. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
And yes, I had to explain him, and he was okay. All right, then you will go. I trust you.
Yeah.
And our donors, they need to do the same.
Yeah.
They need to do the same. I think it is very important.
Yeah.
And why do we recruit only young mothers? We have three reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
First, ladies with proven fertility. You do not just recruit a young lady, and you do not know what is going to happen afterwards with
yeah.
your eggs.
Mm.
If she has at least one healthy child, it's a point. It's a point for us. It's a point for a patient.
Mm.
The second reason, the ethical, very important. What if this young lady would never become a mother on her own?
Yeah.
Would she feel okay about her past experience of donating her eggs?
Mm.
Would she feel okay that somewhere in the world she has genetic offspring
yeah.
and she can't have children on her own?
Yeah.
And the third reason, young mothers are more motivated, I think.
Yeah.
They
understand.
They
that.
Consciously
yeah.
understand what are they doing.
At your clinic, yeah, the patients that need a donor choose their own donors. Here in Sweden, it's the doctor who chooses the donor. So the patient never knows anything about the donors.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the difference? Why do you think it's good to choose your own donor?
Well, I met lots of patients.
Mm.
I would tell you that some of them would not like to choose on their own because they are too frightened to do that.
Mm.
And maybe it is okay for them if the doctor chooses, if the doctor helps. But I also know lots of patients who do not feel confident if they do not control the situation, if they can't influence on the choosing.
Yeah.
So even with pictures.
Yeah.
Some people do not feel okay if they even don't see anything.
Yeah.
So I would love to see.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I always measure on myself what I would do.
Yeah.
So
that's good. I mean, when I chose, I had these child pictures in the PDFs.
Mm-hmm.
But I know if you want to know how they look as adults,
mm-hmm.
you can, right?
Yes. If it is a double donation treatment,
yeah,
or just egg donation,
mm-hmm.
It is possible to see adult pictures, the lady's pictures in her adulthood.
Yeah, of the egg donors, right? Not of the sperm donors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we respect her right to be anonymous. So that's why we never send her pictures anywhere.
You can see them in a consultation
in
through
a consultation,
Skype, right?
In a video call or something like that. So, yeah it is...
How many want to do that?
90% of our
patients. Are you
patients,
kidding me?
Really? And only about 10 in my experience, they tell, no, I don't want.
Oh, wow. I thought I was like the normal patient. But so I'm just the 10%. That's so interesting.
You're unique.
I mean, we all are unique. But that's, that was new information for me. Yeah.
What do you feel now?
And now I feel I'm glad. I would say I didn't know the possibility were there.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I would have chosen otherwise. But I did when I did my process in the beginning
mm-hmm.
With choosing sperm donor in Denmark, I understood that if I would have an adult picture, I would sort of always look for that person.
Mm-hmm.
I would have that image
in your mind,
in my mind all the time. And I'm a very on and off person.
Mm-hmm.
I become very engaged in stuff. So I would have it all the time. I would, you know, go to Copenhagen and, you know, sit on a bench and maybe it's him, maybe it's him. And I actually did kind of a long process with this, with my therapist here in
mm-hmm.
Stockholm, just to realize that for me, it will not be healthy knowing how the adult donor looks like. So today I'm really glad I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, of course, I think about it sometimes, about how much comes from the sperm donor and how much comes from the egg donor. And
mm-hmm.
When I meet all of you, I mean, you have probably met my egg donor.
Of course.
Will you see, you know, recognize my daughter? You know, then I get curious, of course. But I think to me, my daughter's donors are not... I mean, they have done something medical for me.
Yes,
so
definitely.
I don't have the need to see how they,
mm-hmm.
how they. But maybe my daughter will.
Do you know what patients tell me when they didn't want to see adult pictures?
Yeah,
they tell me that they will have just an egg of this person.
Exactly.
And they will never meet this person.
Exactly.
That's why they do not want to have this adult image in their mind.
Yeah.
So they won't feel comfortable living with this
exactly.
image.
Exactly.
So I can understand now. So, for instance, if I had this situation in my past to choose a sperm donor and I have my husband, I do not want even to see any pictures.
Yeah.
Why? Because I do not have... I will never meet this person.
Exactly.
I will have just genetics.
Yeah.
So it will be my child.
Yeah. Maybe Liv will want to know how they look as adults when she is old enough. But I mean, that is in what, 10 years? And I don't even know if that's a possibility then.
Yeah, I would love to.
What will happen if I will call you in 10 years and say, Liv wants to see an adult picture of the egg donor?
I think...
Has anyone even asked that?
No.
That's so funny.
No, because they have baby pictures.
Yeah.
And it is important to have at least something.
Yeah.
I remember a very nice study. It was held in 2014, and it was done among sperm donor conceived children in America and in European countries. It was done among adult people who were donor conceived, and the questions were very nice because, you know, they were only basic profiles provided to parents,
yeah,
and no extended information, no pictures and so on. And when it was open donation, when they had a chance to contact the parents, what kind of questions they had.
Yeah.
it is a huge study. I just need to have a link in my blog for that, because it is really interesting.
Yeah.
So offsprings, they didn't want to be close, I would say, family member, because everybody understands they have their own family, and the adult person of 18 years old and older, they have their own parents, their own friends, and the whole life ahead.
Yeah.
And sperm donor as well.
Yeah.
So they just was very curious about some extended information, some information about relatives, some information about talents, and some pictures. But we have it already in our profiles.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
That's why it the history of the donation changed a lot.
Yeah.
That's why most clinics use these extended profiles. It is so important for kids when they are adults to have this information, to fulfill the curiosity, who were those nice people who donated, but not be in a close touch because you're not a family actually.
Yeah.
You have some genetical connection.
That's the difference, yeah, that's good. What would you say, recommendations on how you tell your child it's a donor child?
You mean in what age or...
Yeah, or and what words to use and how you explain it, and this is the most common question I get.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I also get this question from our former patients when they in touch with me, and when the kids getting older, how to explain and how to start this conversation, because very common when patients get through this treatment, they are not sure, are they going to tell or not to tell?
Yeah.
And after, when they are raising a child, they became more confident in most of the times in the solution to tell.
Yeah.
So I can only recommend that if you wish to tell, it is better to do not after 18 years old, of course.
No.
It is better to do in the how counselors and psychologists recommend.
Yeah.
In the age after 3-4.
Yeah.
Up to 10.
Yeah.
Because then your child will understand it in a better way.
Yeah.
And only from the position of love, not from a position of some genetics or something like that. Mm. There are lots of nice childhood books to use, how to explain your child.
Yeah.
I can recommend one. It is from Toni Braten. Do you know her?
Yeah.
It is so lovely. I've been on the presentation of this book when Toni did that.
Yeah.
And for, like an egg donor, I can tell you, it's lovely.
Yeah.
It's really lovely. And she explains in a fairy tale way how this special treatment was done to create this miracle baby, and how mommy and daddy were longing for a baby.
Yeah.
And there was one fairy, it was an egg donor, helped and so on. So You know, there are lots of books actually.
Yeah,
you can
in
choose
Swedish
whatever.
There are lots as well.
And in US.
But do you think? I mean, do you have an opinion? Do you think you should tell?
I think yes.
Yes.
I think yes.
Yeah.
Because then you will feel more confident as a parent that you do not conceal something.
Yeah, and also I think, I mean, when these kids are adults, like in 18 years, they will be able to do genetic testing all the time.
Of course.
So if you don't tell, it will be a revealed family secret.
Yeah, and when you will tell to a child, it doesn't mean that you do not love your child.
Exactly. The other way around.
What's the point? What's the point to conceal this fact? Yeah. To be blamed with something? No, I don't think that some kid will blame her mom that he was come to the world in this special way. No.
Also, a question I get a lot is why you are using sperms from Danish sperm banks.
At the moment, we feel it is very nice because the most of our patients come from Scandinavian countries.
Yeah,
and European Sperm Bank has lots of Scandinavian phenotype.
Yeah,
but I don't think that we will fix only with one sperm bank. We also have some sperm samples from our Russian partner bank.
Yeah.
And also, I think we will do some with other banks as well. And I know that some of our patients even ship the own sperm donor sample from other banks. So we do not, I would say, oblige our patients to use only those who we work with.
Yeah. We have different options there.
Yeah, we have a donor database, egg donor database, but we do not recruit sperm donors on our own.
No. I mean, there are a lot of good sperm banks that have already done that work, so.
Yeah,
that's good. Can I find out if Liv have siblings?
Yes.
How do that process works?
So you need to contact our staff.
Yeah.
And to make this question.
Yeah.
And we will find out.
Yeah.
So how the process usually works. So we create one combination, I mean, egg and sperm donors.
Yeah.
Only once.
Yeah.
To avoid full siblings.
Yeah.
So many full siblings, I mean, because, there may be some several babies, but it is very big amount actually.
Yeah.
2-3 maybe, but we spread them to different countries.
I think we're sort of out of time, but I wanted to ask the last question because I wanted to sum up what I said in my diary. If I would like to write a letter to my egg donor.
Yeah.
Is that a recommendation? Should I do that?
Very good question.
Yeah.
I'm very open when a patient or a donor wish to write a support letter if we talk about a donor, or a Thanksgiving letter if we talk about patient. Why? Because I really think that we do social work.
Yeah.
It is not just medical treatment. It is a big social thing.
Yeah.
To donate and to have a donation.
Yeah.
So I think it is okay to put some words.
Yeah.
And to pass it to your
also
donor.
Also send pictures?
It's of possible. The child? We can ask the donor if she's okay with that.
That's what you do. So if I send it to you, you ask the donor, do you want to have this or
because,
not?
Because
will I know if she did get the letter or not?
Of course, because usually they write back.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know. I hadn't even thought about that.
We have, we have a pigeon post sometimes, and I need to stop it because you write a letter and then we have a letter back,
and then there's like this email going on. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I find it okay to have a couple of words.
Yeah.
Because you feel more confident, you feel more comfortable about the process you had.
Yeah, I'm so I'm so grateful, and I mean, I want her to know that.
I hadn't
even thought about she was going to write back. That was not what I wanted. I just want to tell her, like, I think of you every day. You've, like, given me this miracle.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm starting crying.
Maybe you can tell her when you see her. That's also so crazy. Anna, is there anything else you want to add that we haven't talked about?
I would like to add one thing. If someone is considering egg donation and really hesitating to that process, I would definitely recommend to read more, to listen more, because it is not so frightening as it seems at the first glance.
That's very true.
And it is not having a baby from someone else. It is not adoption. It is donation.
Yeah. Thank you. Very good last words. Kära lyssnare, hoppas att ni har fått lite inspiration av detta och att ni som har gått igenom embryoadoption och skickat frågor har fått lite svar på era frågor hur det faktiskt funkar. De saker som vi har tagit upp, någon bok och så, kommer jag lägga upp länkar på Instagram. Vi ses om en vecka. Thank you so much, Anna.
You're welcome.
Hej då.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.